Today, as in the past, we are living a critical time. Let's say that the history of man is very long, big, but when we realize history, we can always observe that humanity has gone through complicated situations, through good times, but also through difficult times, dangerous times, like the ones we are going through today. So it is not a surprise, because it has always been this way. However, for our generation, it is the first time that we have experienced a situation as critical as this pandemic has been. Now, this critical time is not so critical perhaps because of the pandemic or because of the events of the outbreaks of the disease, but listen to me well. It has been critical because of the spiritual emptiness that can be seen leagues away. A spiritual emptiness, a void in the heart of man that grows larger, a need in the human being to really be healed from the inside out. But when trying to experience religions and other things, he has not been able to reach it, because he has not been able to really get to know God and approach Him. However, a religion has been known, but God has not really been known as Heavenly Father. So, today we see that in the congregations, what you know as churches, the word of truth that transforms is no longer preached, but today we are, or the space of the pulpit and messages have been dedicated more to moving emotions, to make us feel good, but at the same time lead us to continue living the same way, because the fact that they move our emotion does not mean that they make us feel good. It does not mean that something is operating in our life. Moving an emotion leads us simply to feel good for a moment and then to resume to what we were before. The word of truth is no longer preached. The cross of Christ is no longer preached. Or just the benefits of the cross, or being a Christian, that among other things, they are benefits that are often exaggerated. In order to show a gospel in which everything will always be good, and we really hide the processes, the difficulties that life brings, and that we have to face, the church have been seen concerned, anxious, and hidden. Many run from one place to another in fear, just as the world is, because there is no difference between many Christians and the world, and therefore there are not many to follow, because they are classified as equal to the rest. The church seems to be living what happened to the people of Israel at a certain moment, when a man named Joshua, after he and all that generation who were strong and brave to conquer the promised land die. After they die, a new generation that did not know God rises. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10 says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, it is speaking about Joshua, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Therefore, they were lost. They gave themselves to idolatry. They walked in their own desires to the point of completely forgetting God. There was a very large generation gap. It was supposed that the task was not only to conquer the promised land, but to form the next generations that will take the torch and move on, knowing God and staying faithful to God. But there was a spiritual void there. There was a greater disaster than a pandemic, which generates a disease, but something spiritual, an immense gap in the knowledge of God. Each one of them imagined what he should do, and they lost themselves in their desires. How is happening today, just as it's with the church? How is that, Pastor? What is happening? We have hidden ourselves. We have allowed fear to seize us. We have forgotten who we depend on and who we trust in. We run with uncertainty from one place to another, forgetting who we depend on, and who was that who called us? What are we doing today? It is a question. What are we doing today? Great and imposing temples are built, but with what sense? What are we looking for with that? We want to fill them with people, but we do not give them a sound word, but an adulterated word. It is like pretending to give to our children, to give them adulterated milk. That is milk which, by the fact that it looks white, we consider it to be milk. But the reality is that only 5% is milk and 95% water. And we consider that as long as it does not lose color, it will be fine. But the taste is not the same. The nutrients are not the same. It is like the one who considers that eating junk food, greasy food, that everyone likes it, but it does not feed. He considers that every day, by filling up on this food or satiated, he will be nourished. But it is not like that. Today, a prosperity gospel is preached based on the world's economy and not on the life in God. Words that exalt the pride of the human being, and a cross that rehabilitates is preached, and not the one that makes you to born again or to resurrect in Christ Jesus. We have been filled with so many philosophies that the last thing we quote is some biblical text over there. We like more the human words that enhance what we are and our pride than the words of God that confront us, that disturb us, but to make us change, to be transformed, and that Christ lives in us, and that we allow mixtures, and therefore, when difficult situations come, we are not nourished and strengthened with many spiritual antibodies to face the oppressions of this world, but we simply decay, and we let ourselves be ruled and be defeated. We blend into the crowd and go unnoticed. Know that the question is, how are we going to upset the world in this way? We do have adopted a passive attitude. We think that the profession we have, or the job we have, the gifts that were given to us, they are so that we can prosper. But we have forgotten that they have been given by God in order to reach many. We lost the north because we accommodate ourselves more to the world, on setting ourselves from the will of the Lord. We accommodate ourselves to the system. We have forgotten where we are and what we have and what we are. It's only God's excuse for us to do the urgent, the priority. And do you know what the urgent and the priority is? It is to do what He sent us to do as a church, to be witnesses, to be disciples to the nations. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are not a secret agent. You are salt and light. And the light does not hide. The light usually shines when the darkness becomes denser and more intense. When the oppression is stronger, it is when the light should shine the most. We leave the education of our children to darkness. We do not have a space to make disciples at home. We do not share the word of God with our children. And in the end, we are the generation that enjoys the glory of God, but our children will be the generation that hate God. So I ask myself, what good is there in that? If we cannot rise a generation that continues, to which we give our torch and continues the race that we started, we have adopted a passive attitude. We avoid reinforcing the gospel at home, leaving our children to choose what they want, having the strange ideas and influences of the world and not those from God, because in the first place, they do not see in us a clearly testimony of life and of joy by following Christ. So only in your thoughts, it is if that Christ that you want me to know has not been useful to you, why does it will be useful to me? Simply because our testimony is not true, we are not coherent, and we are not correct. Therefore, they end up turning back, we have in our ranks new rickety generations who do not exercise the muscle of faith, full of humanistic philosophies and desires of never reaching the cross. They want glory, but they do not want to go through processes, because that is what is being sold to them today. Forgive me because of the expression. It is what is being preached to them today. An easy gospel, a light gospel, about cars, houses, and scholarships, and not of tears, of processes, of faith, as well as more valuable than gold, which is proved to be strengthened and stand firm, looking at, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and not on things that are vain, that could be lost and run out. We prefer to spend our resources on what the world offers us, spend the money on what the world offers us, because it seems more appealing to us than investing in God's work, in investing our resources so that the gospel be preached, so that light may be born to others from what we receive. And even in things as simple as investing in a pair of shoes, a large amount of money, and refusing to buy a Bible, whose words are there to bring us wisdom and spiritual wealth and an abundant life. But no, we change the perspective and we consider the material more important than the spiritual. And yet we raise our hands and we continue to say to God, "We love you." But our actions are completely proving the opposite, my beloved friends. We should have a great counseling appointment today with those apostles, the church of the first century, who had things in common and did not skimp on offering their goods to help each other, promoting the missions of those who traveled preaching the gospel. When they saw someone in need, they helped him, they loved him, and the faith that they manifested in Christ, the faith that they proclaimed and preached, was noticed and resonated with force in those who were around them, because that faith was manifested in deeds. Indeed, that abounded in love for neighbor to help others. Is that what we're doing today? They did not skimp on offering their goods to help each other. Today, we need to talk with them. Just a moment will change our Christian life perspective. It will make us to remind to where we have to go back, and how wonderful it is to suffer for Christ's sake, that our reward is not on this earth, but in the eternal. They will remind us for what we are on this earth, to be salt and light, and to manifest the life of Christ that transforms, that changes. We need a counseling with that Stephen who preached Christ, and also he died stoned. Before he died, he did not take his eyes from heaven. His last words were, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." The counseling with Stephen will help us much to change the perspective. Stop asking for God's justice to punish those who rise up against us, and pray that God has mercy. We need to remember that Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses. You are the salt of the earth." Are we fulfilling it? What do we need to remember today? The true gospel, to stand firm and move on. Father, I pray for every person who received this audio today. Maybe it is not what they expected. Sometimes we want to hear words like, "Do not be discouraged," "Cheer up," "Keep going." But there are times when we need to be exhorted and remember that maybe we deviate from the path, and that we need to go back to that path from which we should never have deviated. Forgive us, because at some point, money became important, so important that it is already occupying the preaching of the pulpits, more than the cross. Today, we need to go back, that these words break into every heart and make us understand that we must return to the truth, that we must go back to unadulterated milk. In the name of Jesus, amen. This was a translation of the daily devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Blessings.